This is Chad Riley, and you're watching End Times Productions. The Hitchhiker Effect, which is part of Skinwalker Ranch, that led me into the remote viewers. I found out, I thought they were the early pioneers of the Hitchhiker Effect because Uri Geller, one of the researchers, was part of SRI, an early remote viewing program. When they were researching him and looking into his powers, all the scientists that were assigned to researching him started having the Hitchhiker Effect in their homes and their families. And then that also led me to Kenneth Arnold, who was one of the first people who actually coined the phrase UFOs, flying saucers, I should say, that he saw nine craft flying over Rainier, Washington back in 1947. He was flying a plane over Mount Rainier, Washington, and saw these nine craft and said that they looked like they were saucers skipping on a pond. So that's where we got the term flying saucers. And after he saw those nine crafts, he wrote in his memoir that he was having poltergeist activity and all sorts of bizarre things happening in his home. And even his daughter, who's done multiple interviews, has said that there was all sorts of bizarre things going on in the household after that incident.
So basically, if you have a sighting, you're in danger of something seeing, hey, this thing saw us, let's see it back, and then follow him home and see where he lives.
If you come in direct contact, and it's not just things like that, it's even people who suffer from sleep paralysis and things like that as well. So, or even close encounters, it's all connected. And the fact that this Hitchhiker phenomenon, that it spreads like a virus. So it spreads throughout your family and your friends and coworkers, and it can spread out into the neighborhood.
In your film, you kind of uncovered a link between Stranger Things and a real-life government facility in Montauk. What's going on there?
Yeah, that took place back in the very early 1980s. Camp Hero was the name of the location, and it was considered to be the Montauk or Montauk Project. And they were doing very similar to what you see in the TV show Stranger Things. They were doing the exact same thing, except a lot of these children that were in this facility, they were being kidnapped off the street. They were usually homeless runaways and things like that. And they were using drugs on them and causing them to, basically learn psychokinesis, to untap these powers. But again, this taps into what Russ Dizdar touched on in his book, The Black Awakening, that they were literally trying to shatter their minds to open them up to demonic possession and tap into demonic powers.
Is Stranger Things based on reality?
It's based on reality, completely, 100%. They had this, they had something called the Montauk Chair. And whenever they would be sitting on this, it somehow enhanced their powers, their psychokinetic powers. And whenever they would sit in this chair, they could think about certain things, and things from other realities would automatically appear. Well, it wasn't just certain objects. Sometimes it was entities, creatures. And one day, one of the kids named Duncan was sitting in the chair, and when they whispered something in his ear, he thought of an entity, and that entity appeared, and it went ballistic and started just destroying everything around the base. It was hurting people. And what was crazy about it was, depending on who saw it, each person saw something different. Some people said that it was 9 feet tall. Others said it was 30 feet tall. But it destroyed everything that came in its path.
So it was a giant.
It was a giant.
Man, that sounds a little bit like Nephilim to me.
Exactly.
And that's, that's the Book of Enoch says that demons are literally Nephilim spirits that...
Disembodied Nephilim spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think that they were contacting pre-flood entities?
Well, even the FBI document 6751, which you've heard me talk about before, if you read that document, it says that the entities are not from another planet, but from another plane or another reality or some another dimension, is the way that it's worded in those documents, or that document in particular. And it says that they are not normal size like us. It says they are much larger.
And, you know, it's interesting, too. Like, if you watch, paranormal TV shows or some random stuff like that, where people are talking about their houses being haunted,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times what they say is sometimes like they'll see like a giant, like a 9 foot tall or higher giant that's like all black with an evil face, like sitting in a corner or something. So it like correlates what people are seeing, what they're summoning their like facilities like Montauk. And like with the, you know, with Book of Enoch says, for example.
Well, it's not just limited to that. A lot of these people that have gone out to Skinwalker Ranch or some of these other things that we've discussed, when they are seeing these shadow people in their homes, some of them say that they are anywhere between 8 to 10 feet tall. And it doesn't just stop right there either. Even at S2, which is an Air Force base. I know you know about S2. And at S2, they... George Knapp has talked about they have seen shadow people out at these military bases and that they are roaming and running around. Guards have encountered them and pulled guns on them.
How does that connect to the things that people see at Skinwalker Ranch in the American Southwest on the Navajo Reservation? Do you think like the Navajo witches, for example, have any connection to these types of spirit entities or these types of things that the government is playing around with?
Well, if you listen very carefully to what the Navajo and the people are saying out there, especially the indigenous people, they talk about these things like they're more demonic entity. And this is coming from them. In fact, do you know much about the Great Witch Purge of 1878?
Let's talk about that.
That was not too long after they had been resettled. And they thought that part of the reason why they had been kicked off the land had something to do with witches. And so when they dug up a body of one of the Indians that had been buried, they found a copy of the treaty in that Indian's stomach, and they believed that it had something to do with witches. So they killed several members of their tribe, thinking wow. That was the Great Witch Purge of 1878.
So that was the Navajo was purging their own people?
Yes.
It wasn't the U.S. government killing?
No, it wasn't the U.S. government. It was them killing their own people.
Wow. Because they're suspected of being a witch, which is what? So what's a witch called in Navajo? Skinwalker, right?
They believe that the witches, they commit these murders. They either commit a murder of somebody who is very close to them or somebody is very near and dear to them, and that by doing so, it opens them up and gives them this power to shapeshift. But again, when you really look into this stuff, these things are coming from another dimension or another realm. Because out there at Skinwalker Ranch, they have seen these things, literally windows, portals opening up out there, and that they exit these portals, these windows, and they roam around. In fact, they had one that came out of a portal, ran across a field, another portal opened up, and it went through that portal and disappeared.
Sounds like a movie.
Yeah. They've even ran into the predator creature out there, not on one occasion, but multiple occasions out there at Skinwalker Ranch. Back when Terry Sherman owned the ranch, they ran into the predator creature. A gentleman that had heard some of the news events about what was going on out there when they first started talking about it before Bigelow even showed up and bought the ranch. Somebody had drove out there and wanted to know if he could go out onto the property and pray or meditate. So he's sitting out there praying and meditating. And next thing they know, they keep hearing a cowbell, but none of Terry's cows had any cowbells on them. So all of a sudden he saw something like a blur running from the tree line towards this individual who's sitting out there in the middle of this pasture. And whatever it was, he said it was humongous. He said it ran up and stood right over him. He said it was louder than a bear and a lion. And it let out this humongous roar, and the guy actually jumped 6 feet back from a sitting position. And he was so petrified, he would not let go of them after they ran over and helped him back up. Finally, Terry had to tell him, he said, "If you don't let go of me, I'm going to hit you." And he told him, he said, I'll let go of you, but you got to get me off this property. And he said, "This property is cursed." He said, "You're dealing with the devil."
So what do you think is actually going on there? Like, were there portals opened up through Navajo witchcraft or similar, or was it?
This has been going on for a very long time because Franciscan monks who have been out there since 1776 have reported seeing three fireballs flying around in the sky out there. So this has been going on for a very long time. The Indians have known it even longer than that. And like I said, most of them, they won't even go near the ranch. And the ones that do, they usually take offerings or animal skins and they put them on the fence post to ward off the demonic spirits and keep them at bay. That's their words. Brandon Fugel, in an interview that he did with Sean Ryan, actually said that, and I got that clip in the film. And that's the thing, is that they don't even like talking about these entities. And it's not just that, but it's Wendigo, any of these entities that you can name off, they do not like them being mentioned, because like they said, if you talk about them, it's invoking them and they will come looking for you. So it sounds more demonic than anything. Even Jacques Vallée and a lot of these researchers, especially like Nigel Kerner and all these other ufologists out there that really study this, they all akin the whole alien thing, that it's more demonic than it is something coming from another galaxy or another world.
So you think that all the stuff basically from, going from Roswell all the way to Kenneth Arnold's sightings, to Montauk and Stranger Things and Skinwalker Ranch, are all connected in a way that a lot of people don't. They think it's separate phenomenon, but you're saying it's all the same thing manifesting itself in
Oh,
different ways.
yeah, it's all absolutely connected. In fact, did you know that Kenneth Arnold and Jack Parsons were flying buddies? And Robert Goddard, who was another rocket engineer that was early pioneer in the rocket engineering, lived in Roswell, and he also knew both of these individuals. So you got that. So it's like you have the Kenneth Arnold sighting, and less than 2 weeks later, you have the Roswell crash. And that these individuals all knew one another, and that one of them was part of the Babylon working ritual alongside L. Ron Hubbard, creator of Scientology.
That's seems like the coincidences too.
Yeah, especially
But
when the US Air Force started investigating Jack Parsons because of the when he worked for Howard Hughes, and he had taken classified documents out of the facility without permission. And so once they started investigating him, that's what led them into learning that him, L. Ron Hubbard, were understudies of Aleister Crowley, and that they had been doing this ritual called the Babylon Working between the years 1945 and 1946, and that supposedly they were successful in 1946.
And what is that? What do you think that implies?
I believe that they actually did exactly what they set out to do, to bring about Babylon, the Whore of Babylon, and the Son of Perdition end times. In fact, it was Charles Reis Tussell, who was the creator of Jehovah's Witnesses, who said that the end of the world would begin on October, was it October 14th, 1912? And that was the same day that Jack Parsons was born. What are the odds of that?
Crazy. This no Skinwalker Ranch was an active long before 1947, and long before Jack Parsons. Would you think Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard were kind of tapping into the same thing that was happening at Skinwalker Ranch, kind of opening a rift somewhere else and kind of making a new Skinwalker Ranch?
Well, not just the rituals that they were performing out there at his mansion that he lived at, but also whenever they would go out and they would do these rocket launches, he was performing rituals to the Greek god Pan and doing all sorts of things. So, I mean, this stuff, it gets really dark and really deep really quickly. In fact, the place that they would go out there and do these rocket tests was called Devil's Gate Dam. In fact, him and his suicide squad, another interesting term right there. And come to find out, the same Robert Goddard that we were talking about a while ago, that's where he did all his rocket experiments. It's the exact same location, Devil's Gate Dam.
That's crazy.
So, like I said, you're seeing coincidence after coincidence and just over and over overlap.
How do these things kind of link up to the federal government's investigations into paranormal research, into seances and MK Ultra, stuff like that?
That was a branch of the CIA called MK Offen. And this branch, that was their thing, was that they got into the occult and esoteric, pretty much kind of like the Annenerbe was the Nazis version. You know, they had several things like the Thule Society and Vril, but it was the Annenerbe who was really steeped in the occult as well as the Vril. But MK often, I mean, they would infiltrate seances. They would send members into seances. They actually openly talked with witches, active witches. In fact, one of the most well-known witches, this well-known witch was Sybil Leek. This lady was so connected as far as like the witchcraft and the esoteric and the occult that when she was 9 years old, Aleister Crowley used to visit her back when she was 9 years old. Her family was that connected. In fact, when MK often was dealing with her and approaching her, she would tell them where the most active covens were, all the different locations of witches and covens all around the world. I mean, you know that also, what was it, Crowley and several of his colleagues, they all worked with British intelligence. So that's another thing is like a lot of these people that are steeped in the occult and witchcraft and things like that and demonic and satanic rituals also have a lot to do with spies and spy agencies, different governments, intelligence agencies. There was a lady at the beginning of the film that you hear her talking about that she witnessed satanic rituals going on out at military bases. And she said that a lot of the people that are mixed up in the naval intelligence, not all of them, but a lot of them, are mixed up with the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis. So just you gotta ask, what's going on?
What do you think's going on?
I think that they've been dealing with satan. They've been initiating satanic rituals at all levels of government. Because they are trying to tap into these things. They want to make contact. It's no different than John Dee back when he was the person that worked for Queen Elizabeth. He was doing the exact same thing. He was tapping into the demonic and he was playing with fire.
So that they basically made the government, the governments of the world have made pacts with the other side, with the dark side, to get power.
To get power, technology, and a lot of the things, that's the thing is that these rituals also, they're able to control humanity through what, most people think of as like MK often, MK Ultra, things like this, where it's, like mind brainwashing, things like that. But it's actually occult rituals. It's all occult rituals. In fact, one of the biggest occult rituals. It was one of the biggest blood sacrifices that ever took place. And think about it. It was broadcasted over and over and over in HD repeatedly for months. And people were just watching it and they were witnessing a ritual, a blood sacrifice repeatedly over and over.
Sounds a lot like COVID.
That too.
Do you think the government made contact with the entities in order to, subjugate people and control them? Or do you think the entities made contact with the government? Who do you think made the initial contact?
I believe it was us who made contact. And it's not just the United States government, it's multiple governments. In fact, at the end of the film, or towards the end of the film, I have the footage where it shows the explosion of UFOs that takes place from 1947 leading up to 2012. And when you get done watching that, you see that the United States, as well as Australia and England or Europe, were the most brightly lit places on the entire planet.
That's insane. So let's talk a little bit about connections between H.P. Lovecraft, Cthulhu, some of the old gods, and Aleister Crowley and his rituals and demonic entities. What's going on there?
Well, the H.P. Lovecraft and Aleister Crowley both around the same time encountered an entity. Crowley said that it referred to itself as Cthulhu, and it was H.P. Lovecraft who said it revealed itself to him as Cthulhu. But there was Kenneth Grant, who was the secretary of Thelema, who took over Thelema and OTO after Crowley died, and he wrote a 9-book series called the Typhonian series. And in the one book, he came out and said that Crowley misunderstood. He said that that he had encountered the exact same entity that H.P. Lovecraft did. He just misunderstood and that they were the same entity and that it was actually Cthulhu. And Lovecraft, even Kenneth Grant in his book, Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God, he said that Lovecraft was dealing with things that he didn't fully understand. He had tapped into something, but he wasn't doing it through occult rituals. In fact, his father, I believed, was stricken with, I think his father actually went insane, if I remember correctly. And that, I don't know if these are generational curses or what, but I think at the same time, Lovecraft was tapping into things that invoked a lot of this stuff. And what he was writing about, these old ones, he was just talking about fallen angels and Nephilim spirits. And so that was the reason that Kenneth Grant came out and said that he had been snuffed out because he was tapping into things but wasn't giving them the full credit that they deserved. And so that's why they took him out.
So basically, Crowley was doing rituals to see into the other side and making contact with these demonic entities. And Lovecraft was just, his mind was open in a certain way to allow them to take him over, basically. Not take him over, but show him things that he shouldn't.
Exactly. And we talk about Crowley, that he had invoked the first entity, AWAS, and he never saw AWAS. He just dictated the Book of the Law. But in the Book of the Law, it actually stated or actually it was Aleister Crowley was convinced that the Book of the Law was going to bring about the Son of Perdition, and eventually the end times was another thing. In fact, after it was released, when it first came out, World War I broke out quickly, not too long after. And then he decided to re-release the book right before World War II broke out. And once he re-released it, and then World War II broke out, he was convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it played some sort of a role in bringing about the end times and the Son of Perdition. In fact, he referred to this by invoking something, these world wars, so that there would be mass blood sacrifice and what he called baptism of blood for the Son of Perdition. Those aren't my words, that's Kenneth Grant's words.
That's interesting. And what else is crazy is that Aleister Crowley is probably more popular now than he was when he was alive.
Yeah.
His teachings have went on to inspire all the New Age people
Yeah.
and kind of infiltrate into society itself.
Well, not just that, but I don't know if you've read the book about Laurel Canyon. Have you read any of that stuff and looked into it? Oh man, yeah, the whole hippie movement. And I touched a little bit on this because people like Timothy Leary, who was big on promoting LSD and things like that, this was all part of the CIA and their MK Ultra, as well as MK Offen and all that. In fact, this goes all the way back to Edgewood Arsenal, and they needed a giant pool of test subjects, so they were using the American public as guinea pigs so that they could see about tapping into powers, opening doors. And these kids thought that they were just doing this, and that they were just tripping on acid, and that they were having this experience, but they were opening doors to the demonic.
They were being used basically as food for demons.
Exactly.
That's insane.
Well, Crowley never referred to them as alien or anything like that. In fact, he didn't even refer to them as angels or demons. He just referred to them as Enochian entities, which is what John Dee used to refer to these individuals or these entities as. But yeah, when you look at the drawing that he did of Lamb, it totally looks like a gray alien. In fact, Stephen Greer, who does the CE5 research, so he does this. One of the things that they did out there in the desert where they were doing the CE5, a alien appeared flying over the group of people that was out there. And when you look at that photograph and put it right beside the drawing of Lamb, they're identical, completely identical to the T. And that's the thing, is that most people think that this has to do with some sort of an alien hybrid program. It has nothing to do with that. They may be doing some of this stuff as far as like hybridization, but that's not what this is about. In fact, Nigel Kerner, one of the leading ufologists, he came out and said that him and John Mack, and who else was it? Whitley Strieber. They all three say that this has something to do with the human soul. They are trying to somehow implant themselves into the human soul. So you got to ask yourself, why are they so fascinated with the human soul? Does this have something to do with the reason that they are irredeemable and that a judgment has been handed down to them and that they cannot attain salvation? So they are somehow trying to hijack salvation through humanity, through the human soul.
How is this all linked to, like, you know, what Bob Lazar and like David Grusch are saying? Because that's all pretty big right now. You know, the UAP and the Tic Tac and all this stuff. Do you think that that's a manifestation of this, or do you think it's like some sort of secret space program?
I believe that this is all antediluvian. The whole, nothing new under the sun. People think of things like Star Trek and Star Wars. It's like they think they're looking to the future, but you're actually looking into the past. Whatever you can think of, it's already been done. And the whole thing about these craft, Bob Lazar was talking about the nine craft for a long time. He's actually taken people like John Lear and Phil Snyder and all them have gone out there with him. They've seen the craft lying around. In fact, he got arrested and they threatened his life. And that's why he ended up leaving the program. And he went public about it because he thought that they were going to kill him. And Phil Snyder, his friend, had found the. We already went into all that. I'm not going to go into all that. But, what was it? Bob Lazar had already came out and said that, one of the craft that they had found out there, and this was in the Joe Rogan podcast, so you can also pull this footage as well if you want to put it in there. But he told Joe Rogan that one of the craft that they had out there was actually found at an archaeological dig. So it wasn't just old, it was ancient. So when you think of things like Vimanas and you hear stories about these craft that can fly from continent to continent, pole to pole, that Admiral Byrd was talking about. It's like, this is not anything new. Now, David Grusch, that's a little more current. He's the whistleblower that came out and was talking about that all these black budget programs and that, they had all these craft all around the country at different locations, different facilities that they were trying to back engineer. And that's where we get a lot of the technology from. I mean, right after 1947, the Roswell crashed, and all of a sudden we had cell phones. I mean, the cell phone came out in 1947. Most people don't even know that. The whole thing about the transistors and things like that, all this stuff was coming out right around 1947. 1947 was a pivotal year because of everything they were doing with the Babylon working ritual, plus the Mount Rainier sighting, and then the Roswell crash not even 2 weeks later. But look at all the other things that were happening in 1947. That Israel had already been agreed upon to become a state again, and that it was actually enacted in 1948, but yet it was agreed upon in 1947. Then you had the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found, and you just look at all the things that just kept happening in 1947. That was something was unlocked, something was transpiring.
What do you think that was?
I think that what they had actually set out to do about setting off and bringing about the end times and triggering it, I think they were successful.
So this is all leading to a end times deception.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily end times deception, but I think that they've triggered a lot of events that will bring about the end of the world, that Jesus will come and return, and that, God will pour out his wrath on the wicked and remove the wicked from the face of the earth.
Do they think, because they're trying to bring it on, do they think they're going to win?
Well, that was Gregory Renrich, who he had said that some of the entities that he had seen and had heard them talking, saying that they believe that they're going to win, that they're waiting or preparing for an intergalactic war with God. So, again, I don't know. I mean, I would believe that if you've been around since the times of Adam and got kicked out of heaven, you would have had your mind would have had to snap eventually at some point. You would be literally insane. So is Satan insane? Probably. Probably all the fallen angels are.
Yeah.
And they're a prodigy as well.
Where do you see this all going?
The research that Joe Jordan did, you know, as you saw, I had him in the film as well talking about this. And that was one of the things he really focused on was he said that he had people reaching out to him once they found out about this. They're like, could you help me? Would this help me? Do you think it would work for me? He said, absolutely. He's like, this is repeatable. He said, if you genuinely accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's like, not only will these things stop, but they'll stop permanently. And he said that I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And so people are starting to wake up and they're starting to realize it's like, whether it be alien abduction, sightings, encountering Hitchcock effects, whether it be shadow people or even, you know, sleep paralysis, whatever. If you call out in the name of Jesus, these things can be brought to an abrupt stop. But if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't ever have to deal with it ever again. And even if we do see things coming upon the earth, like in Matthew where it says men's hearts failing them for fear for looking at these things coming up on the earth, if you're truly covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't think they could touch us. I don't think we have anything to worry about. Now, will we see things that might look scary? Yes. But they won't be able to mess with us.
What do you think we're going to see? Like, how do you envision it playing out?
I believe it will be a lot like it says, that, you know, these things are going to be let loose to torment people. And those that are not walking with the Lord or have no protection of the Lord, they're in for a bad, very bad time. And that's the thing is, you know, they say, well, I can't believe that there's a God that's, you know, that mean or that evil. It's like, we have the choice. We have the choice to accept the gift that he came here and he lived as a man. God came in the flesh and dwelt among us, and that he lived a perfect, sinless life. And not only did he do that, but he paid the ultimate sacrifice. He paid the sacrifice for the sin in this world. That should be all of us hanging on that cross, dying a horrific death. But that he actually came down here and did it, lived a perfect, sinless life so that we could be with him forever, and that there wouldn't be a second death. If anything, I truly hope that this answers a lot of people's questions, because I know a lot of people are fascinated by these subjects, but I truly hope that they believe and that they understand that these are all tied in with demonic, satanic, and that we can be free from it. You can't be free from it. If you're watching this right now, all you have to do is call out the name of Jesus, ask him to forgive you, ask him into your life, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you can be free. Yeah, if anybody out there, they want to see the film, if you don't have the link, let's say somebody rips the audio from this and puts it up somewhere else online, just go to Google and type in Vimeo, and then type in Skinwalkers and Stranger Things of the Unseen Realm, and you should be able to find it pretty easily. And we also have a YouTube channel that I'm going to start adding more to later on called True Seekers Research. But you can also go on YouTube and type in Skinwalkers and Stranger Things of the Unseen Realm. You can find the trailer as well as a talk that I gave. And eventually I'll have more interviews on there as well. So
cool.